You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Here we go. Anita Marks with you until noon. Larry Hardesty comes your way. Then a good friend of mine and good friend of the show, Jimmy Patsos, joins us. We typically have him on around this time. It is March Madness. So let's get maddening with Jimmy P. How you doing?
Anita, how are you?
I survived the earthquake, so I guess I'm doing okay.
I know. I'm sorry. I was out in Phoenix on the other side. First of all, congrats to Seton Hall. What an amazing NIT win. Shaheen Holloway, and that was really well-run tournament. And they beat a good Indiana State team. And then the next day I woke up and found out there was an earthquake in New Jersey. So it was prayers for everybody. I heard they could hear it. I heard they could feel it on the Yankee Stadium fields, et cetera. So it was kind of wild. So prayers there, and who knows. But you know, off we go into March Madness for one more day with the women's game tonight, then tomorrow, UConn and Purdue, the matchup of the big guys. But, yeah, sorry if I sound a little funky. I got a little Phoenix flu combination. We had a lot of events to go to out there. But it was quite a week in basketball. You know, you want to go women's basketball first?
Yeah, let's do that first. Again, Jimmy Patsos joining us. For folks who don't know, I spent 4 years in Baltimore, had a radio show there that was televised. Jimmy would come in each and every week, and we would have an absolute blast. In fact, you remember my grandmother had a huge crush on you. She would watch you from Florida.
I love that.
Yeah, my grandmother was like, when is that Jimmy Patsos going to come back in studio? I definitely have to tune in then. So Jimmy and I go way back. He's still down there in the Baltimore.
We miss you in Baltimore.
Thank you, sweetie. He's still down there in Baltimore working with Under Armour and handling a lot when it comes to the NBA and part of the Washington Wizards broadcast team. I now am in New York, but it's always great to connect. Also, Jimmy, I met him. He was Gary Williams' right-hand man at the University of Maryland, coaching college basketball, and then spent some time at Loyola and Siena and all the good things. So let's start first and foremost with the women, right? We've got Iowa, Caitlin Clark, who's taken the world by storm, and everybody just rooting for her, going up against a South Carolina team that is undefeated. Before we get into this matchup, curious to get your thoughts on the call, quote unquote, in that UConn game. A lot of mixed feelings there. Was it a foul? Yes. Many people feel that it shouldn't have been called, though. What say you, Jimmy?
You know, I could have gone either way. I'm not a ref. I'm not Gene Steratore. Who, by the way, Gene Steratore used to ref in the MAC. When I was at Loyola, we were in the MAC winning a lot of games. And then Siena, same thing. Fran McCaffrey's a friend of mine. But we used to talk about the MAC where Willard and Ed Cooley and all these guys coached. Physical games are played. Well, the women's game has really become more physical. And I was surprised they called that at the end. The NBA is big on the moving screen. And everything trickles down from the NBA. The person setting the screen, especially when they're bigger, like for the Knicks, Julius Randle or Hartenstein or something like that, you just can't move on those. You can't lean. They can call that. You gave them a chance to call it. I wanted to see the last second shot. It was nice. Paige Beckers, what a comeback story. Caitlin Clark, clearly the Steph Curry of the women's game in terms of making shots and leading her team and being unbelievable. So that story goes on, which is nice, but I thought Gino Auriemma kind of deserved, you know, for all he's done for the game, for that referee to be like, okay, let's see if Beckers makes the shot. For those of you who don't remember, Paige Beckers been hurt for a couple of years. And the women's game is in great shape. I love Juju Walker, who's my favorite player from USC. And my Lage is really good from South Carolina. And, of course, Hannah from Notre Dame, because I work for Under Armour. So I see all these women play. But Caitlin Clark, you know, maybe in the referee's mind, had that little edge like, this is the best player. This is the legacy player, and I want to see her move on. You just never know what's in the referee's mind. I would not have called it. But here comes South Carolina. The quietest story of the year, in my opinion, is the job Dawn Staley's done. In other words, it's a quiet story for what she's accomplished. This is her third national title game. She's an unbelievable. I remember Dawn when she was a player at UVA. What she did at Temple, then to take it to Southern. It's a dynasty she's going right now for. And to go undefeated, I don't care. Remember, LSU was in there. I mean, that league, the SEC has a lot of good teams, okay? This is not a one-team league. Like, the Big East, no offense, is kind of UConn and everybody else. You know, the Pac-12, which is done now, they have a lot of good teams. You know, Utah's out there. UCLA was really good. USC was the number one seed. In other words, the SEC, it might be the best team top to bottom for the women, in my opinion. And so is Iowa. They've gone through the gauntlet, too. Well, South Carolina went undefeated. I don't care what anybody says. And Angel Reese is a friend of mine. I know her mother. She's from Baltimore. Great player. They had to play them twice. They had to play them in the SEC championship. I mean, this is not an easy run that Dawn Staley has made. And Cardoza is really good. She's really tall. She's a forward that'll play in the WNBA. She's actually a higher pick than Angel Reese, in my opinion. Sorry, we have the Mystics. My WNBA stuff's up to par these days because the women's game is on fire, and it's a great situation. And I think the future is bright. But can Caitlin Clark handle the whole USC team? And I say USC meaning South Carolina. I don't think so. I would take South Carolina laying that 5, 6, or 7, whatever it ends up being. I would lay that. I think South Carolina's going to beat them. I think South Carolina's done it all year. And Dawn's the AP Coach of the Year for a reason. They're deep. They're bigger. And they're just not going to let Caitlin Clark go left off those screens, because when she goes left, she's pulling. Right, she'll pass and make some tricky shots. Left, she's going to pull and make threes. I think they're going to trap her and do some different stuff. So I love Caitlin Clark and have total respect for her, but I think the run's over for Iowa, and I think South Carolina beats them by double digits.
Wow. For me, it's Cardoso. She tweaked her knee in the previous game, left for a minute, came back in the third quarter, averaging 14 points, shooting almost 60%, 9 rebounds. She's a mismatch for everyone, especially those that are on the Iowa squad. I'm with you. I do like South Carolina. I actually like South Carolina in the first half. Let's end this discussion on this. Do you feel Caitlin Clark is the greatest women's college basketball player of all time, Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, I'm older, so I remember when Ann Myers, David Myers' sister, who also was married to Don Drysdale, for you older people listening, tried to make the Pacers. Ann Myers changed the game. I mean, if you leave them in cage. Okay, what Rebecca Lobo and Red David, then you can just start naming the Connecticut players that really changed the game. You know, and I'm, the Sue Bird and all those people. That we'll see if she can continue to do it, and I think she can. But right now, hands down, the most important women's college basketball player of the modern era is certainly Caitlin Clark. With all due respect to those that have come in the past, and I'm a big Asia Wilson fan, and Kelsey Plum scored 3,000 points at the University of Washington, and she's a terrific player. She plays for the Aces. Your Liberty are going to be really tough this year. Caitlin Clark has transcended a nation and a world into women's basketball fans to the next level. I said her and Reese the other day, maybe Magic and Larry Bird, who had the highest rated college game to this day. Caitlin Clark, and I don't believe in that Lex Luthor bad stuff. I think they both are edgy. I think they both have their sweet spots and their edginess. Caitlin Clark's no saint out there. There's a reason she wins a lot of games. She's tough and feisty. But Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark have a chance to transform the women's game to the next level in the WNBA, television ratings-wise, et cetera. And Clark's scoring ability, like Pete Maravich, all the way through, like I said, to Steph Curry, I think she is the best women's basketball player, but I also think she's the most important women's basketball player, certain in the modern era. It's ridiculous, the numbers she puts up, TV ratings, packing arenas. That's just that's a talent, as you and I know, when you have ears in the NFL. And either you played quarterback in the women's NFL, you're a golfer, you've been around, you've seen what Tiger Woods and these people can do. She's on that level of transcendence and getting people to watch and follow her, and that is a rare thing, and she is doing it at the highest level.
Yeah, there's no denying that. All right, let's take a look at what's going on in the men's game. Edie is just unbelievable, 7-4. What do you do with that, especially Purdue? A lot of people didn't know this going in. Second-best three-point shooting team in the country, NC State. Their Cinderella story comes to an end. And then UConn doing UConn things, beating Alabama. They're 11-0 against the spread, at least by 13 points. I just think they're a team on a different planet. This line opened up at 5.5. It's now up to 6.5. Break down this UConn-Purdue matchup for us.
Look, hats off to NC State, but Purdue got to break their funds. Purdue's actually had a decent run in this tournament. But they beat Tennessee, who's really good, who's a minor league version of UConn. But let's stay on Purdue first, okay? What Purdue's doing is just solidly elevating their game as they've gone along. Zach Edey, if you ever watch Zach Edey up close, and I've watched him, I saw him beat Wisconsin and Maryland this year in person. He's got scratches and bruises. He's getting the crap kicked out of him all over the place, never complains and just goes forward. He's got a mindset right now, Zach Edey. He played on our Under Armour circuit as a guy from the Northern Kings in Toronto, went to IMG, earned his keep, and keeps getting better. This is his next big test. You know, Bill Walton ran into David Thompson at the time. When their dynasty got interrupted, he's still mad about it. You know, Bill Walton, I'm a deadhead, so I know him. Well, Zach Edey's playing, he's not as athletic as David Thompson. This is going back to the 70s, and that was the NC State's first run before Valvano. Well, Purdue, they're shooting the ball well. I know Fletcher Lawyer's dad really well. His dad was Bob Huggins' assistant. Jones has been a tremendous guy. They got from the mid-major level, which a lot of guys have, you know, a lot of these older players. Do they have a bench? Not really, but Gillis is really effective. But this is about Zach Edey. And now he's going to get to play against Klingon. And Klingon hasn't faced a big guy like that. And Burns is nice and everything. But the NC State came in as an 11 seed. I saw them being tied in the ACC tournament 9 games ago when they were about to be eliminated by Louisville. That Louisville, the bad Louisville team, and barely beat Syracuse. So that NC State team is an unbelievable story. But that's not loaded with stars. UConn, Cam Spencer, who's from Baltimore, his brother Pat played at Northwestern. He was one of the greatest lacrosse players in the history of the game. Cam Spencer's really good. I know Stephen Castle really well. His dad, Stacy, played at Wake. They've got a lot of things going for him at UConn. But Klingon's had a free run inside. I want to see him and Zach Edey go at it. I think Zach Edey could be that guy. Like David Thompson, I said, look, Purvis Ellison did it. Ed Pinckney did it. You know, Derek Wittenberg didn't, even though NC State beat Houston. If you're going to upset the unbelievably ranked number one team, even though Purdue has had their rankings, they're not looked at like UConn. Zach Edey's got to do it. He's got to have a 40-20 game. What, does he get Klingon in trouble? Klingon was coming off the bench last year, and I'm going to give Danny Hurley all the credit in the world. They lost 3 players, Sonogo and the 2 guards. They lost Hawkins and the other guy from Albany. I'm sorry. They lost 3 players last year to the NBA on 3 starters and have replaced them. That's really unbelievable. Him and his staff, Kamani, and it's Bill Murray's son. That's why they show him a lot, Luke Murray. They've done an amazing job replacing and getting these guys to play both offense and defense. That's UConn. But Zach Edey and them are hungry. They got beat by FDU last year. 2 years ago, they got beat by St. Peter's. They haven't flinched. Do they have enough bench? That's the question to me. Does Purdue, you know? They got really, they play 40 minutes, 40 minutes, 38 minutes, 37 minutes. And that's their 4 guys. And then Ren comes out and they play Hyde a little, but Mason Gillis is important. What's going on at Connecticut is an NBA team out there. I really think they can beat some NBA teams.
They could beat Detroit. Let's be honest. They could beat Detroit.
Hey, your Knicks better start picking it up there, too. They've lost 4 or 5. And I love Brunson. And I know Brunson gets fouled because Thibodeau talks about it. I love Tibbs because he's a Boston guy. But let me tell you something. On a given night, with the depth they have and the size they have, Castle's the guy I like. Castle's the guy I hope certain teams take a look at. Klingon's got to be a lottery pick the way he's moved up. But Stephen Castle should be a lottery pick. He can play the point. He's really – and he's only 19. He's not one of these 21-year-old freshmen. What Hurley and UConn have done is – they just have stayed out of close games. And the question I have for you, Anita, is does the lack of a close game hurt UConn if it is a close game? What's your thoughts?
Yeah. Listen, you know, they haven't had a deal, right? They haven't had to deal with that type of adversity in quite a while now. So, you know, how do they handle that? It kind of, to me, just going back to the ladies' game, you know, are people going to be tuning in this afternoon to Caitlin Clark? Are they going to be tuning in to South Carolina, potentially doing this run where they lost all season? I think that's more detrimental to them that they haven't lost all season because they've just been such a juggernaut, right? Like, they haven't had to deal with that type of adversity.
No, only so, in the SEC tournament. It was pretty close. That was when them and LSU literally battled till the end. But, yeah, and UConn's not that deep either. They have balanced scoring. If they don't make threes, nobody's really pressed UConn. Purdue's not going to do that, so that's out the window. If I was NC State, I would have 55. That's our full court press from Gary Williams. I would have pressed them the whole time. You know, the Indiana State run was really interesting in the NIT because they were really fast-paced and whatever, and then Seton Hall got them into kind of a tangled web game and played it their way. And at the last minute, Indiana State was still up, but they didn't let him score 90. And they put him in their defensive trap. And, you know, Shaheen Holloway can really coach. That's why St. Peter's went to the Sweet 16. The game turned their way because that's how Seton Hall's played all year. What I want to see is, you're right, can South Carolina sustain what they've done and get a lot of rebounds inside because their center's better and all that kind of stuff, you know. She's underrated, by the way. I believe Tessa Johnson is her name off the bench, too. So that's why people like Watkins and Johnson and all these bench people in the women's game are interesting. In the men's game, the benches don't matter. KDiarra, who's a New York City kid, you like him, for all those listening, is the Huskies guy off the bench. But their bench isn't going to score. You know, they're going to score 6, 7, 8 points. It's going to be their five versus the five, the six man for Purdue. But if the game slows down, it's in Purdue's favor. They'll make threes. I know that. That's because he's a really good passer. Eden Twingen has just gotten better. His hands are so good. If that guy's not a liar, I mean, I think he can start for half the NBA teams as a freshman, as a rookie next year. So that's going to be interesting. But, you know, Caribbean's done a lot of work. Newton's really good. They have a lot of guys. But Cam Spencer seems to be running that crafty little game. But Castle is the freshman who's really emerged. Castle's almost doing an Isaiah Thomas-like emergence through this NCAA tournament where all of a sudden you're like, is he good enough? We're not sure. Maybe. Wait a sec. How do we pass on him? He might be a top five pick. So happy for the UConn fans, but I hope Purdue wins. But I'm taking the chalk. I would take UConn and I would take South Carolina the next two nights.
Jimmy Patsos joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Jimmy, before I let you go, you've got your finger on the pulse of the NBA because of your connection with the Washington Wizards. Big game, as you alluded to, the Knicks. They've got to get back in the winning ways. They're only two games out from the Bucks. We heard Doc Rivers come out this week and say, I'm taking notes. We don't travel professionally. It just seems like there's a lot more going on off the court with that Bucks team than what's going on. Especially you look at their roster. They should be doing a lot better. Your thoughts on this matchup today and the importance of the Knicks winning this game, again, to better their position as we get closer to the postseason?
Look, the Knicks had a tough loss at Miami. They've had some tough losses that have come through in the past. I love Brunson. He's really fantastic. They had an interesting trade, but Anunoby has not been healthy. And then, you know, I saw Randle get 48 there. 48 is career high against the Wizards a year ago. He's unbelievable when he's going good. Obviously, his shoulder has a setback. He didn't have surgery. He tried to heal it. If Randle can't play, your season's basically over. The question is, do you run into the Cavs, who you beat last year? Look, both sides are crazy. The races are crazy to get in. I'm an Adam Silver guy. I think he's a genius. The 7-10 play-in's perfect because last year the Lakers with their team goes to the conference finals. The Heat and Butler and them get to the finals. Now, Celtics kind of stubbed their toe. Don't count on that this year. Celtics, and we had Porzingis here, ridiculously good this year. I love what the Knicks are doing. You know, I think the Knicks have to make a big move in the offseason to take the next jump. Embiid's back in play for the Sixers, so you don't want to run into them. The Knicks-Bucks, I think the Bucks, you know, Doc's kind of, I don't know what Doc Rivers is doing up close because I have only been watching. I got a lot of college on my plate, and that was a mid-season switch. All I know is this. They got a lot of talent. They won this thing a couple years ago, beat the Suns, and all of a sudden they've kind of disappeared and, it's not, you know, is it Giannis's fault? And they trade for Dame Lillard and all that stuff. Well, they're in second, and you don't want to come in third, but you want to come in second and play the Heat? There's no easy way out of the NBA playoffs anymore. I think Denver's got a good run, and the Celtics have a good run. After that, it's anybody's game. It's too bad, though, because Hartenstein and them are trying. You traded Barrett. The one I thought got away from you was Quickley. Quickley was a good off-the-bench guy for you. But at the end of the day, without Randle and finding a newbie who had a bad elbow can come back all the way. That's his been his issue. He's not always the healthiest guy. And the Knicks play really rough and tough defense, so you're going to get hurt. You play a lot of minutes to Tibbs. So I think the Knicks have an interesting position. But should they come in sixth and play the Cavs, who they beat last year, or come in fifth and play, you know, the Rising if the Pacers get there, or, you know, who's moving around that spot around there is really an interesting thing. But My little intake for this is anybody who's out there wants a little prop bet. I'm not telling you to gamble, but the Sixers, when Embiid are playing, have the best record in the NBA besides the Celtics. So watch out for them coming. The Knicks don't have that. If the Knicks can get Randle back, that's way different, but I don't
they
see
can.
It coming right now.
They can. He's done for the season. Shoulder surgery. Out. Done.
Right.
Jimmy.
So he's done completely, right? I knew they were rehabbing on him. So that's it. I didn't know if they made a final decision. I apologize for that, but I knew that was done. Close to being done, but had he been able to manage to come. So without Randle, you're not going to get anywhere in the playoffs this year. Can you beat the Cavs again? Maybe. But I'll tell you this. The Bucks and Doc Rivers, they're running out of excuses. Okay, there's five games left. They got a lot of talent. I've been to their arena. Everyone in that town loves them. They got a lot of money. They seem to have nice stuff to me. You got to want to turn it up and start playing. And I'll tell you who they miss is Drew Holiday, who was a lot tougher and a lot better than a lot of people realize. I can name some guys, but I won't on that team, that never lace it up and play as hard every day as Drew Holiday. And they miss him. So Celtics, Nuggets, Celtics losing six games, NBA champs.
Jimmy, you rock. Always love having you on. Feel better, my friend. Thanks for spending time with us this morning.
Thanks, Anita. You're the best. See you. Bye.
You got it. You got it. Jimmy Patsos joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Bobby in Belmore, you'll be first up when we get back here on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Today at 3 o'clock on ABC, the women's tournament wraps up with Caitlin Clark of Iowa facing off Dawn Staley's undefeated South Carolina team. Unbelievable job she's done recruiting, that's for sure. Jimmy Patsos is on South Carolina, so am I, even though it's so weird. Like, I'm putting money down on South Carolina -6.5, but I'm going to be rooting for Caitlin Clark. Just weird, but that's what's going to happen. The tournament update driven by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full lineup that provides all the goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com today. Bobby in Belmore, what you got for us?
Yeah, hi, Nina. I think that game was a disgrace the way it was called. I mean, four illegal screens for UConn, none for Iowa, which what the coach brought up. 18 fouls for UConn, 9 for Iowa. I mean, I guess since Caitlin Clark only scored 1 point in the last 7 minutes of the game, I guess the referees or the NCAA had to make sure that she was in the next game. I mean, I think it was a disgrace, and I'm so turned off by that I'm not even going to watch the game today. I think, and those players on the stand, they were very classy. They didn't blame the refs, but it's obviously not just that terrible call. Throughout the whole game, it was just, you know, the illegal screech could be called on every play, what the coach said. And that wasn't even flagrant. That wasn't near being flagrant. But it was, and I just find it hard to believe that these referees, you know, that the NCAA would not be involved in getting Caitlin Clark to the next game. I just find it hard to believe.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Bobby, thanks for the phone call. A lot of people believe that. A lot of people, at the end of the day, though, we talked about it earlier on the show. 3 o'clock today, it's appointment television. It's Caitlin Clark, Iowa against University of South Carolina, where the greater feat is going to be South Carolina going undefeated all season long. But people are going to be tuning in because of Caitlin Clark. We know it. The refs know it. The NCAA women's tournament knows it. So there's that. You definitely, we'd be ignorant to not take that into consideration. Quick break. We come back. It's time for Who Am I? Get your calls ready. 800-919-3776. I feel like I've got a good one. And Tom and Chantel are producing the show today. This is Chantel's first Who Am I? So she gets to experience it for the first time. If you are just tuning into the show right now, what do? I have selected an individual. Somebody who's been relevant this week. Okay? Somebody who's I just don't pick somebody out of the sky. It's somebody who's relevant in sports. It could be a movie star. It could be a singer. It could be a performer. It could be an athlete. It could be a coach. Could be an owner. Could be like, but, and I throw out some nuggets and you try to guess who it is. That's Who Am I? It's just that simple. If the first person doesn't get the correct answer, we go to the next caller and that next caller gets another nugget. What we really need to do, guys, we need to get this sponsored and to hand out some prizes is what we really need to do. Maybe our sales team, our Good Karma sales team is listening and they can do that. Only time will tell. 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, time for a little Who Am I? So again, Chantel's producing the show. This is her first time experiencing Who Am I. So this is what we do, Chantel. I've picked an individual. Could be anyone. Could be anyone, but somebody who's been, you know, in the news this week. So there's that. That's your common denominator of a hint. And I give you three hints. Then we take our first caller, 800-919-3776, to call in. And they get to try to guess who it is. If they miss, we go to another caller and they get another hint. If you or Tom think you know who it is, text me. Okay? And then I'll give you some mad crazy props if you know who it is.
Okay, cool.
Okay, here we go. All right, so here are your three clues as to who this person is. Number one, this person's middle name is Dion. Number two, this individual was born in Dallas, Texas. And number three, this individual was drafted in the first round of their draft. Again, middle name is Dion. Number two, born in Dallas, Texas. Number three was drafted in the first round of their draft. Who am I? And of course, we have no callers yet. People out there Googling right now, which is not fair, by the way. But it is what happens.
So, I was initially thinking it was going to be a college athlete here until you said they were drafted first in the first round or first overall in their respective draft?
Drafted in the first round of their draft.
Okay, I was going to say maybe it was DJ Burns, but I don't believe that's going to be the case now.
No, he hasn't been drafted yet.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Did you see that that football scouts were looking at potentially wanting him on
he has no interest.
That's a shame.
He has no interest. So maybe these hints are not good because we have no callers right now who are wanting to jump on. So maybe I need to offer. Well, let me ask you. Do you guys have any thought process right now in regard to who this could be?
Well, we
do have some calls coming in. Well, I have a feeling these are people who've Googled.
My guess was going to be DJ Burns initially, and then you mentioned the draft thing. So right now, I'm uncertain.
You're uncertain. Chantel, any feel, any vibe right now in regard to who you think this is?
I don't. I initially thought Beyonce, but then when you said drafted, ooh, I was like, oh, that's not Beyonce. But we have Steve from Westchester on hold, and he thinks he might know.
So by the way, I have not heard the new Beyonce album, but everybody's talking about it.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
I hear the new, her rendition of Jolene is supposed to be out of control.
Yeah,
maybe you can get Tom to play that coming in to our next segment, which will be our last segment heading into Larry Hardesty, who I absolutely adore. All right, let's go to Steve in Westchester. Steve, your three hints.
What's
number
up?
One, this individual's middle name is Dion. Number two, born in Dallas, Texas. Number three, was drafted in the first round of their draft. Who am I, Steve?
Is it the wide receiver from Kansas City, Rice?
No, it is not.
Ooh.
Ooh. But Steve, good guess. And he obviously was in the news, but being a naughty, naughty, naughty boy racing in his Lamborghini with a bunch of weed. Way to go, Rice. Thank God nobody was injured. So that was frightening. All right, so here we go. So those are your three hints. Now you get another one. This individual is playing on their third team. This individual is playing on their third professional team. Let's go to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, so do you have all four hints?
I think I do.
And so who am I?
I think you are Julius Randle.
That is correct, Andrew. What gave it away?
Dallas, Texas. I know he's from Dallas. I'm a Knicks fan.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Good for you. I wish I had something to give away. We're hoping that our sales department could step up to the task and maybe get this segment sponsored so we can give away some stuff. That would be fine. That would be fun. That would be nice. So again, our Who Am I is Julius Randle, born in Texas, Dallas, Texas, that is. His middle name is Dion. Went to Kentucky. Was drafted in the first round, 7th overall to the Lakers. The Knicks are his third team. So he was with the Lakers, then he went to New Orleans. Now he's with the Knicks. He won Most Improved Player in 2021. He was raised by his mother, who sold mattresses for a living. McDonald's All-American, an FIBA U18 gold medalist in 2012. And also his nickname, the Black Panther. So some nuggets on Julius Randle, who unfortunately is on the shelf for the remainder of the season, which is not good. Let's go to Sal in Valley Stream. Sal, you always crush this.
I'm thinking maybe it's T'Challa, maybe that's his. That's we already name, I think.
Sal, we already got it. Somebody already called and got it.
You're
adorable. Yeah, it's Julius Randle. Boo.
Oh, it's Julius Randle.
Yeah, it's Julius Randle.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, you appreciate the effort. A for effort. I think I need to get more difficult with these. Right? I feel like people are getting them on like the second or third call, right, Tom?
Yeah, I think the difficulty could be stepped up a little bit. That might be a good idea.
Yeah, that's on me. That's on me. Anyway, any idea at any point in time that it was Julius Randle, Chantel?
No, I didn't know he was from Texas. And right? Then his middle name being Dion, it kind of right. Doesn't go. Julius Dion. Oh, well, maybe.
Randall. Julius Dion Randle. Yep.
It has a flow to it.
My middle name is Suzanne.
Ooh.
Anita Suzanne. Name. Anita Suzanne Marks. And it's spelled with an S, not a Z.
It sounds like money.
And I think that was a mistake with Mama Mimi. I think it was meant to be spelled with a Z, but it wasn't. It was spelled with an S. So I find middle names interesting.
Me too.
Do you know anyone who goes by their middle name because they hate their first name? I know a few people.
I do.
Right?
Yeah. But then I don't like when people try to call you your middle name because they want to like make it a thing. Like if I was just like Suzanne, like if I just started calling you Suzanne, but you're Anita. Like, I don't like when people do that.
Well, I know I'm in trouble when my middle name is Anita Suzanne Marks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, yes, what I do now? Am I in trouble? Yeah, you're in trouble. I used your effing middle name. Of course you're in trouble. Oh, my gosh. By the way, update on Mama Mimi, because I've had quite a few people who've reached out to me. Unfortunately, she's back in the hospital because she has a shoulder infection. But for the most part, she is doing better. I feel like it's 5 steps forward, 2 steps back, 5 steps forward, 2 steps back. So, she's so funny. You wouldn't know it, but she does have the mouth of a sailor. In fact, every time Mama Mimi's on the show, I have to warn our producers to have their finger on the drop button because you never know. So, but she can't stand March Madness, and like literally throughout March Madness, at least once a day, I get a text message with a ton of F-bombs. Like, when is this effing tournament going to be over? I can't stand any more effing basketball.
Hilarious.
She can't stand March Madness. It ruins her TV viewing. And she just can't stand it. But anyway, I love her to death. And again, I just want to thank everybody who reaches out on a week-to-week basis and checks in. So thank you very much. All right, quick break. We come back. It's our last segment. We will put a big, fat, I like to call it a green bow. We never like to be in the red. We always want to be in the green. We'll recap everything. Justin and Tom Rivers, I see you. We'll get to you. Anita Marks with you, leading into Larry Hardesty next, here on 98.7 ESPN. Beyonce, her new album, I haven't heard it, full disclosure, but I hear amazing things about it. I do need to just put it on and listen to it in its entirety, in its totality. Oh, God, I got it in. Oh, I got it in. Anyway, I'm proud of myself. Sorry, not sorry. Let's go to Justin in Tom's River. Justin, welcome in.
Hey, Anita, thank you for taking my phone call, as always. I don't know if you spoke about it earlier in the week, but I did want to ask you your thoughts on the AFC East, you know, with Stephon Diggs moving out from Buffalo. You know, this AFC East is very wide open. I think the Bills are taking a major step back. The Dolphins really don't scare me, and their defense definitely taking a major step back. Where do you think the Jets rank up in the AFC East this year? You know, I've been very hard on the Jets. I really have to applaud the Jets and Joe Douglas what they did this offseason. I was not very excited going into this offseason. I didn't really think they'd be able to flip the roster the way they did. But bringing Hassan Reddick in, and then, you know, I was hard on them when they let Bryce Huff walk out the door for nothing. I think the Jets should be the favorite in the AFC East, and that's not being a biased Jet fan. I just think, man for man, I think the Jets are the best team in the AFC East, and what are your thoughts are?
Yeah, Justin, thanks for the phone call. Really appreciate it. The fact that Stephon Diggs was traded, it's not just Stephon Diggs. In regard to what the Bills have lost this season, they've lost a lot, and more, even more concerning on the defensive side of the ball. Oh, and they lost like their anchor on their offensive line and Mitch Morris. So I think the Bills are going to take a step back, and they had to. They were really cap strapped in a really dire situation. I think they set themselves up to try to win the Super Bowl last year. Obviously, we know how that ended up for them. So that really opens the door for the Jets. I'm not sold on the Miami Dolphins. If you go back and you look at their games against opponents last season that were above 500, they weren't able to beat them. I'm not sold on Tua. So there's that. And then the Patriots more than likely are going to be rebuilding this year, right? They're expected to take a rookie quarterback. They traded Mac Jones. So I think the door is wide open for the Jets to come in and win this division. So really what it's going to come down to, and I know I'm not going out on a limb here, really what it comes down to is Aaron Rodgers staying healthy. And no disrespect to Tyrod Taylor. I think Tyrod Taylor is a solid backup. I would have liked for this team to go out and get somebody more like Gardner Minshew. I don't know if Tyrod Taylor is the answer. That, God forbid, if something does happen to Aaron Rodgers, can come in and win the number of games that they need to, even though Woody Johnson came out and said that that backup quarterback situation has to be addressed. So anyway, with that being said, to answer your question, I think with the trade with Stephon Diggs and the players, the really good players that the Bills unfortunately had to unleash, I think it's really opened up a lot for the Jets. I like what the Jets have done in free agency. It's just really, at the end of the day, it just comes down to, can a will be 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers stay healthy this season? If he can stay healthy this season and play all 17 games, to me, it's a no-brainer. The Jets win the division. So really, that's what you're banking on. You're banking on Aaron Rodgers staying healthy at the end of the day. So, all right, hey, let's recap. I want to thank Ben Ruta, who joined us earlier on the show, talking all things Yankees, as well as Major League Baseball. Jimmy Patsos, as well, talking college hoops and the NBA. And Greg Wyshynski, looking ahead to that Canadians-Rangers game and playoff hockey as we inch closer. Later on today, around 3 o'clock is tip-off. I'm going to be in the city somewhere, some local watering hole, somewhere in the West Village, taking in the Caitlin Clark against South Carolina game. I do like South Carolina -6.5. But I will tell you this, I'm going to be rooting for Caitlin Clark, but I do believe South Carolina does win. Then tomorrow night, 9:20 p.m. Why so late? You've got UConn going up against Purdue. I'm going to lay the 6 with UConn. I think they're just too good. Jimmy Patsos agrees with me as well. So we've got both the men and women's championship coming your way later on this afternoon. And of course, tomorrow night, this week, you know, we're inching closer and closer to the NFL draft. I'm sure a lot of news there. We've got the Masters kicking off. Again, I love Neiman. I think Neiman is going to crush it. I love him as a long shot at 25-1. I'm also going to throw some coin on Scottie Scheffler at 4-1. Why not? So thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. We've been with you since 8 a.m. If you did tune into our golf show, we're really excited to be back on air on the tee here on 98.7 ESPN throughout the golf season. Starting this week, leading all the way to the FedEx Championship. I want to thank our producers, Tom and Chantel, who do a great job. Thank you for contributing and all your hard work. I really do appreciate it. So everybody, enjoy the rest of your Sunday fun day. Enjoy the Women's Championship. I'll be back next Friday night for Weekend Wager right here on 98.7 ESPN. But don't go anywhere. Larry Hardesty, who I absolutely adore, is coming your way next here on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. This is Click, 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 or Don't. Click, Click, Boom! Very simply, here's the headline. Are you interested in clicking or not?
That's right. It's time for Click or Don't Click, a fun way we take our tour around our wide, wide world of sport. We find out what is trending at 10:50 a.m. Eastern Time, of course, on 98.7 ESPN. Our producers always lead the way. So therefore, Tom and Chantel, what you got for us?
Anita, how about a goat debate to start things off on Click or Don't Click today?
You know how I feel about that, but go ahead. Okay.
All right. Well, so Caitlin Clark. So a lot of people have been kind of speculating whether or not she should be the greatest of all time when you consider women's college athletes in basketball or just the NCAA in general. She's got the scoring record, and a lot of people are kind of putting down that maybe she's not the GOAT because she hasn't won a title yet. By the way, that title game is coming later today at 3 p.m. on ABC when Iowa takes on South Carolina. But again, so that GOAT debate is kind of happening all over the social space. Caitlin Clark talks about having to win a title to become the GOAT and the talk surrounding that.
For as many people that are going to love you, there's going to be people that don't like you. And, you know, that's the case with every professional athlete, men or women, playing at the highest stage. And I think what I've been able to do over the course of my career is just focus on the opinions of the people inside our locker room. That's what I really care about. The people that I love to death, the people that, you know, have had my back every single second of my career have been the ones that have believed in me more than anybody. And to me, that's really the only opinions that I'm concerned with are my teammates, my coaches, my family, and the people that I want to make proud every single day.
A wise answer from Caitlin Clark. Now, Dawn Staley, the coach of South Carolina. What do you think about Caitlin Clark in the Goat debate?
I had a great career, but it's always, did you win a championship? Went to the Final Four 3 times. We never won. So I do think if Caitlin wins a championship, she's pretty damn good. Like, yeah, she's a coach. I mean, she's pretty damn good regardless, but, you know, winning a championship would seal the deal. I hope to the dear Lord she doesn't.
Anita, does the championship seal the deal, or that has that illusion already been shattered and she's number one?
You know, this is a really difficult topic and subject for me because I don't believe that championships defined the greatest of all time. You know how I feel about Tom Brady? I know everybody, you know, calls him the GOAT. In fact, if you hashtag Tom Brady on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, there's a GOAT emoji. It just makes me want to vomit. I think it's really unfair and not wise to appoint somebody the greatest of all time in a team sport. Dan Marino was 100 times the quarterback that Tom Brady was, but never won a championship. Okay? And I'm not just saying that because I'm from Miami. Neither here nor there. I'm actually not a huge fan of Dan Marino off the football field, but that's a story for another day. I have a really, really hard time. Now, individual sports, you want to argue, debate Serena Williams, Steffi Graf. You want to argue and debate Tiger Woods, Jack. You want to debate like in individual sports? Absolutely. But in team sports, I just have a hard time with that. Like, so in this game later on this afternoon, I do have South Carolina winning, by the way. As much as I'm going to be rooting for Caitlin Clark, I do have South Carolina winning -6.5. I've got Caitlin Clark under 33.5 points, but I've got her over 8.5 assists. Why? Great players make others around them better. I think South Carolina and Dawn Staley are going to try to take Caitlin Clark out of the equation. And she's going to have to orchestrate and set her teammates up for some open shots. But they're going to have to hit those. This is my assessment of the game, okay? They're going to have to hit those shots. So as great as Caitlin Clark more than likely is going to be, and I think she's going to get her share. I think she's going to hit her 3-pointers. I think she's going to score. But so much is going to be riding on what her teammates do, especially rebounding, right? So do I think that Caitlin Clark, for sure, I think you put her in the top three in regard to the best college female player ever. I'm a little biased because I'm good friends with Nancy Lieberman, and I know we had her on the show last week. So I'm a little biased in that regard. I think definitely you could put her in the top three to say that she's the greatest of all time. I think you can make a fair argument for that. She's definitely captured our country by storm. She has become the darling for many people. But I just, you know, Tom, we've been working together long enough. I have a really, really hard time appointing somebody the greatest of all time when you're talking about a team sport, because so much more, you know, we talk about, oh, Tom Brady won all these championships. Well, a lot of those championships were won because of defense and because the teams that they were going up against made bonehead calls, like the Seattle Seahawks not running the ball with Marshawn Lynch, or the Atlanta Falcons with Kyle Shanahan as the offensive coordinator throwing the ball when you're up by a gazillion points. So let's minus 2 championships with Tom Brady. Are we still going to call him the GOAT? I don't know. I have a hard time with that. I hope that answered your question. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all good.
Okay. So for the next one. So Zach Edey is a Canadian player attending Purdue on a visa. So he legally can't capitalize on any type of NIL deal while he's here in America. He says he hopes that can change for future international college athletes. Click or don't click?
I click that.
Yeah. I have a lot of questions. Well, I have one main question. Did he know before he went to Purdue, like, because you're Canadian, you will not be able to capitalize on an NIL deal?
So I don't, and again, if folks, you're just aware of this. So Edey, who's 7'4", who's just an absolute stud of a player at Purdue, cannot make NIL money. Now, we just talked about Caitlin Clark. I want to say, like, she's made like over $3 million, close to $4-5 million in NIL money. You know, there's a number of other college men's basketball players that are making a lot of money in regards to NILs, but because Edey is Canadian, he can't profit from NILs. I think it is borderline unfair, by the way. Now he can profit from NILs in Canada, but how many people in Canada are paying attention to American, United States college basketball? I don't know how many people in Canada are tuning in or watching in NCAA. I don't know. I would imagine that he's got to have some NILs in Canada, but he cannot profit from any here in the United States, and it's not just him. It's any player that's not an American citizen cannot profit from NILs in college sports, which sucks. Something needs to be done.
I mean, he might be the one to change it, which would be pretty cool.
Possibly. All right, let's get one more because we do have Jimmy Patsos, who's going to be joining us to talk some NBA, as well as college basketball. So give me one more thing that's trending at 10:58 a.m. on this Sunday Funday.
All right, Nita, how about MLB pitchers getting hurt in speculation about that with their arm issues and all that? Click or don't click that?
Yeah, obviously, especially what just happened with the Yankees. So, yeah, I'm curious.
Well, like Jonathan Loaisiga, Shane Bieber, and Spencer Strider, two notable MLB starting pitchers, and many others recently, have gotten hurt with either being an elbow injury or, in Loaisiga's case, a torn UCL. And the head of the MLBPA, their union, Tony Clark, released the following statement on that, saying, despite unanimous player opposition and significant concerns regarding health and safety, the commissioner's office reduced the length of the pitch clock last December, just one season removed from imposing the most significant rule change in decades. Since then, our concerns about the health impacts of reduced recovery time have only intensified. And once again, MLB messed with the pitch clock this year as well. I believe you have two less seconds when there's a runner on base. It went down from 20 to 18 seconds about how quickly a pitcher can throw the pitch. But Anita, my question here is, I don't know if pitch clock is necessarily the issue here when you have Major League Baseball prioritizing guys having to throw their fastball a lot harder, and they're going to have to throw a lot more sliders as well. It seems to be the trend in baseball the past few years, is the rise of the sweeper, if you want to even say that's a real pitch, or a slider. But also guys throwing like 97 plus constantly, and a lot more guys doing it. It's leading to a lot of injuries, not just in Major League Baseball, but in the lower levels as well, even youth baseball.
Yeah, listen, it's an unnatural movement. Our arms, our ligaments, our muscles weren't meant to, throw a baseball, to move, to have that, what's the word I'm looking for? To have that motion, especially at that fast a pace, as many times as pitchers do it. So, but one thing, and I talked about this yesterday, one thing in talking to Major League Baseball pitchers who've had Tommy John surgery, the majority of them have said that they come back bigger, stronger, faster, like the Bionic Man. Was it the Bionic Man or the $6 million Man and the Bionic Woman? It was one or the other. I just remember as a kid, I watched those shows. So I guess there's the positive. You're on the shelf for a year, but your arm is reconstructed in a way that if your rehab goes properly and all things go according to plan, you're actually a much stronger and a better pitcher after Tommy John surgery than you were before. So there's a positive. Anyway, this is what is trending at 11 a.m. on this Sunday morning. Quick break. We kick off hour number three, actually hour number four, if you were tuning into our golf show. Jimmy Patsos, former head coach of college basketball, also part of the Washington Wizards broadcast team, joins us next. We'll talk NCAA as well as the Knicks. Let's get into it. Big game against the Bucks later on tonight. You'll be able to listen to that right here on 98.7 ESPN. We'll be right back.